The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you today about unwanted pregnancies. Have I got some listeners out there who have just discovered that they're pregnant and it was the last piece of news that they really wanted? Well, I had a letter from a lady a week or so ago who had three children, and she had found herself pregnant with number four, and it was a mistake, she said. She was absolutely overwhelmed. She had been counting on her husband to make sure that she didn't get pregnant, but she said, "I should have known not to rely on him. I was almost setting myself up for disaster. God gives us brains, but I always thought that God was ultimately in control of the details of life. Now I feel defeated, betrayed by my foolish, simplistic ideas, depressed. I have been three times to a doctor to see about having an abortion. God may not have ordained this child, but it exists, so I'm responsible. I am praying for a miscarriage." Well, you can imagine, my heart really went out to that woman. I could just imagine all the machinations of her mind just going round and round. Is God sovereign? Were we responsible for this? Well, of course. We've got brains. We've got sense enough to know how to use contraception. What a stupid fool I was to trust my husband. Why didn't I take matters into my own hands? I should have known better. I can't even talk to God about this. He's going to tell me I'm stupid. It was all my fault. And yet, I used to think that God was in control of the details of my life. How do I fit this together? Is God sovereign? Has God given us brains? Do I make the decision, or does God make the decision? I understand all that. I understand it so well, because there have been many situations in my own life, nothing like an unwanted pregnancy, but plenty of other unwanted things for which I was partly responsible, and I was asking myself, is this God? Is this Satan? Is this just me? Or is it so-and-so's fault? And I've been comforted so many times by Samuel Rutherford's words that we should not look upon second causes. Let's not descend to the confused rollings and wheels of second causes. God is the one who is ultimately in charge. And the book of Proverbs says, "Man's plans may devise his way, but the Lord orders his steps." And we all know that no matter how carefully we may lay plans, things happen to change those plans. The best laid plans of mice and men gang aft aglay, or often go askew, we might say. What was I to say to this poor woman? She said, "I am desperate to understand how God fits into this mess. I have quit church. I can't face all the smiles of the people, and I feel betrayed by God." Do you feel betrayed by God? In Isaiah 41, verse 10, here's a word of comfort. Well, let me read from verse 8 through verse 10. "But you, Israel, my servant, you, Jacob, whom I have chosen, race of Abraham, my friend, I have taken you up. I have fetched you from the ends of the earth and summoned you from its farthest corners. I have called you my servant, chosen you and not cast you off. Fear nothing, for I am with you. Be not afraid, for I am your God. I strengthen you, I help you, I support you with my victorious right hand. And next to that verse in my Bible, I have my father's initials because I know that was one of his favorite verses. He was very conscious of his own weaknesses. And he would have quoted from the King James Version, which is not what I was reading. And it says, I am your God, I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you, yea, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And here's this woman who says, I trusted him. He could have prevented it or caused a miscarriage. That's true. He could have. But he didn't. My family is falling apart, she says. I am bitter toward my husband. I need to be in strict control of my life. Well, I'm afraid she's barking up the wrong tree there. We can't be in strict control of our lives. There are all kinds of things over which we have no control. And although there is a measure of control over conception, given modern knowledge and methods, the ultimate result is in God's hands. You may use every method of birth control known, apart from abstinence, and God may overrule your choices and allow you to become pregnant. Or you may make, quote, a mistake, unquote, as this woman says she did, and nature takes its course, and you become pregnant. Did God have anything to do with it? Where does God fit into all this mess? And she feels very self-pitying. I was doing so much for God, I thought he'd bless me. Well, what was I to write to her? I think the first thing I said to her, and I don't have my reply in front of me, was, I understand your feelings. Vicariously, I understand. Not because I've ever had an unwanted pregnancy, but because my daughter was pregnant when I didn't want her to be, as if it were any of my business. She had four children, two boys and two girls. She had what I thought was the perfect family. That was enough. I could see that she was working very hard, that she was often very tired, and I thought, oh dear, not number five. So I can sympathize with this woman's feelings, and I was going around and around with the same sort of arguments in my own head. Why aren't Walt and Val using their heads? Are they thinking about the difficulties of having number five at this time? Can they afford it? What will people say? And it gets deadly when you start asking that question, doesn't it? What will people say? The question is, what does God want? And I had to surrender my own feelings of unhappiness, not because I object to a big family. I'm one of six myself. But because my heart went out to my dear, tired, I felt overburdened daughter, Valerie. So I surrendered those feelings to God, and I said, Lord, your will be done. And it was none of my business. Now, I could say to this lady in a much gentler way, but in effect, it really wasn't her business at this point that she was pregnant. It was now a fact, and as she says, this may not have been ordained of God, but it exists. Well, I believe it was ordained of God, and the child existed. It is a child. So I could say to her, I sympathize with your feelings, but remember that Jesus said, whoever receives a child receives me. Whoever receives a child receives me. It's never a mistake. A child is never a mistake. God is totally sovereign as to the outcome. A child is a gift, a heritage to be received with thanksgiving, and to be treated exactly as you'd treat Jesus if you were his mother. How would you treat Jesus if you were his mother? This applies to all of you who have a child, whether you're carrying him or her inside, or whether that child has been born and he is now your responsibility. Mary didn't expect to be pregnant either. She was a handmaid of the Lord. I said to my correspondent, I really believe that God will give you joy. She had said that she had three boys and she was hoping for a girl when number three was born, but when it turned out to be a boy, she just decided that was it. She wouldn't have any more children. It just may be that God is going to give her a girl, but maybe not. But underneath are the everlasting arms. the arms that uphold the universe. To me, that is the most comforting, sustaining, stabilizing doctrine that I know about. He is ultimately in control, not we. And when she said, "I've done so much for God, I thought He would bless me," I had to say to her, "He has blessed you. He has blessed you by giving you another child," referring to her phrase, "this mess." How many times we've all been in messes which were solely because of our own failure or stupidity or sin. We know what that's like. And yet, when we turn to the Lord, we find that we can know the shepherd in the dark valleys, even if the dark valleys are of our own making. When nothing seems to make sense, we learn the mysteries, and we learn to trust Him without explanations. I could tell her that nothing would ever touch her for which God would not give her the grace. I could promise her, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." She said, "Nothing seems to be happening." And I could say to her, "Tremendous things are happening. A little child is developing." And I could give her the words of the great hymn, "God Moves in a Mysterious Way." "His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower." She might think of that tiny child in her womb as a bud. There's a bitter taste there for her, but sweet will be the flower. May you be willing to surrender your body as the vessel for the life of the child.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.